or a Christian seeking to know God's Word, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that some may find a little bothersome, troublesome, or irritating, if you want to use either of those terms. We're talking about the rise of Islam in America. Perhaps you've not noticed that. But I am surprised and yet delighted to see that many of our anchors on television, on several of the more conservative networks, are talking about this issue. We're finding numerous in our House and Senate members talking about this factor. It is coming, bubbling, if you please, boiling to the point of it's coming to the top of the issues being discussed in America today. We're finding it all over Texas. We're finding it in New York. We're finding it in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and other states, ladies and gentlemen, Michigan in particular, where Dearborn, Michigan has been sold out, surrendered, waved the white flag to Islam now for years and years and years. I want to read an article, then we'll reintroduce our speaker, our guest today. Headline says, "I want ISIS to kill all of you. Council on American Islamic Relations now considered a terror organization in one state. The Muslim Brotherhood, a social front for militant jihadists around the world, and CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, have been designated as foreign terrorist and transnational criminal organizations by the state of Texas. CARE actually had been named as an unindicted co-conspirator with the Holy Land Foundation years ago when that group was convicted of funneling millions of dollars to terrorists and Hamas, according to an announcement by Governor Abbott. Whereas CARE was named as unindicted co-conspirator in one of the largest successful prosecutions of terrorism financing in the United States history, where in internal documents plainly identified CARE as a subsidiary of the Muslim Brotherhood, and a federal court eventually found ample evidence to establish that CARE was in fact associated with Hamas." Goes on to give the legal sites for the case involving that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll say that rather than speaking on it, I'm going to ask our guest to do so. We have today with us that's speaking as an expert on the subject, knowledgeable and informed about Islam, Brother Randy McDaniel. Randy is with the Act for America. Act for America is one of the organizations that's traveling across America, warning our legislators, warning citizens, warning pastors about the dangers of the rising of Islam in America. Randy, who is CARE? Who is the Muslim Brotherhood? Who are they? How does it fit into the network of terrorism around the globe and in America today?
Okay. Well, to sum things up, first, I think you brought up an interesting point that Texas has outlawed CARE. The U.S. versus Holy Land Foundation, who used to be the Occupied Land Fund, resulted in the successful prosecution of the Holy Land Foundation, and 2 CARE members, Gashan Alashi and his brother, sentenced to over 65 years in prison. while that was going on, we had actually discovered, and what originally happened, to give you a real fast precursor, one of the senior Muslim brothers, Ismail al-Barasi, in the United States, was actually caught filming the support structures. His wife was in a full burqa, filming the support structure at Chesapeake Bay Bridge. An officer saw her, pulled him over. He was wanted on two material support witness warrants because he didn't want to testify against a fellow Muslim brother, which is considered slander, which is a capital offense in Islam. So when they searched his home in Annandale, Virginia in 2004, they found the complete basement with a sub-basement. They found the archives of the Muslim Brother inside the United States. So we're not guessing at what we're saying and which groups are terrorist organizations or tied with the Muslim Brother. We know exactly who they are. The Muslim Student Association, the Islamic Society of North America. If your mosque is owned by North American Islamic Trust, the bank for the Muslim Brother in the U.S. that set down footprint in the U.S. in 1958 in Plainfield, Indiana. If this mosque, like our 9A mosque that Parvez Ahmed goes to, that is owned by the Muslim Brotherhood, funded by, I believe that one is funded by Saudi Arabia as well, but I'm not sure. ISNA, CARE, and NATE, in the Holy Land Foundation trial that you're talking about, petitioned the judge after their Fifth Amendment right was violated. They listed the names of these groups that were co-conspirators. They petitioned Judge Solis and asked Judge Solis to remove their names as co-conspirators. The judge said no, but hell no, excuse my language, Lord. You shared more than a parent-child relationship with Hamas, meaning CARE is Hamas. So when I write articles and I talk about Hamas doing business as CARE, CARE sued Nike, Burger King, everybody else. I've yet to be sued because factually in the court of law, we are correct. Just as Parvez Ahmed was a Hamas operative, is his tenure for 4 years as the national chairman of Hamas doing business as CARE. So these are bad actors, like I said, jihadis and Armani. The problem that we are seeing today is that Trump's what he's talking about doing has absolutely zero teeth and zero effect on these groups operating in the United States. People are thinking that we're coming down and cracking down. Absolutely not. It's a foreign terrorist organization. The only countries he's looking at doing that are Egypt, Jordan, and Lebanon. So there are other countries, and the reason is Qatar is probably that we're budding up to, and looking at all this money coming to the United States from Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Well, Saudi Arabia funded 80% of the mosque, the Muslim Brotherhood mosque inside the United States, over 2,000 mosques. Qatar has been funding every bad deal that we've done. They brokered the Boat Bergdog, the five jihadi deals. They've brokered many other deals, and they've been doing influence ops in our education system at the elementary, middle school, high school, and college level, along with online exchange student programs. They're waging jihad. They're just waging a financial jihad and an influence jihad, or dawah operations, which is part of the jihad movement. So you start out with information warfare. 85% of all warfare is waged in the information battle space, and that's exactly what Qatar is doing.
Absolutely. And you touched on that. Talk about the different types of jihad. And where are we now? I say that we're at the level of two or three, but primarily political jihad. Speak to the different various jihads and what that term means.
Excellent. Well, the dawah phase you're working in, you got to understand that you can move back from one line to the other, mm-hmm. And where, depending on where you're at. It's all a matter of tactics and timing. And I'll give you an example. Years ago, I don't know if you remember Osmakov. He was a ISIS guy that was in Tampa.
Yes.
He was arrested. He was criticizing CARE, Ahmed Badir specifically. And Ahmed Badir's going, look, we're good guys. We're getting told we're not even Muslims and, you know, that we're heretics and everything else. You've got to understand that in Islam, my Islam is better than your Islam because there's no definitive. I'm operating closer to the Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, than you did. Then my Islam is better than you. Well, what did Muhammad do? He laid waste to people. He said he marched on a village at night. He said, submit to Islam, gave the invitation to Islam. So he would give an invitation three times. And if you accept, then your lives and your possessions are saved for you, except for what's required by Islam or Sharia, right? Your life and your blood. If not, a great slaughter in the morning. And that's how Islam spread, by the sword. And it dwarfed the Roman Empire in less than 100 years. And in the course of history, I think somewhere close to 280 million people have been killed by the sword of Islam, and it's spread the religion of pieces or peace.
Absolutely. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Is that Dr. Youngblood?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I think that, really, I believe that these idiots and the Democratic Party think they can help the Islamic culture move into America and they can control them, but they are sadly wrong.
I believe you're exactly right. I don't know that they understand fully what they're doing, but I believe they're playing into the hands. It's what, Randy, I believe the Islamics call them useful idiots.
I would say that they're, yes. They're, yes, and I, and we have it on both sides of the party. Listen, there's no, Islam in America today is equally infiltrated. We've got the head guy sitting in the department, the small contracts Department of Defense, okay, the group that's driving, you mentioned something the other day, Dr. Youngblood, about that this last year, 72 Muslims, we were talking about, ran for political office. Now, we're not talking about Muslims who are here in the United States to assimilate. We're talking about political Islamists that are here to institute Sharia Islamic law.
Correct.
So we had 72 Muslims run for political office, 42 of them.
43.
43 of them secured positions, and a couple more are outstanding. We're waiting to hear from it. You said 1,100 were running next year. The group that is running most of those organizations are putting them in power, birthed right here in Florida. We've been mapping them for about two decades. Originally, you had CARE, but then you had a Merge USA, which endorsed the former mayor, Alvin Brown, endorsed our former sheriff, Rutherford, endorsed Mayor Bob Buckhorn, endorsed the sheriff and commissioner of Sunrise and the mayor of Sunrise, Florida, and several others. And they said, we don't lightly endorse. We endorse only those who have shown done a significant amount of work for those in our, meaning the Ummah or the Islamic community. So that endorsement doesn't come lightly. That group now emerged, became M-Gage. M-Gage is run by two gentlemen, Karim Wahid, which is a lawyer out of Miami, who basically has done pro bono work for every jihadi in Florida and during 9/11. He's still with a Muslim brother lawyer, does a lot of work for them. His partner, Farouk Mehta, sits on Department of Defense Small Contracts, still does. He is the outreach that Bernie Sanders reached out to, Hillary Clinton when she ran for president, and as well as Biden, one of his faith-based. So those are the guys leading the charge and educating them. They go through their trainings, and the first training was here in Florida, which we infiltrated 2 years. And we had a guy driving. And Ahmed Badir said, I want clean Muslims in political office with no ties to the Muslim brother in the next 2 years. We were able to put a guy in there, ended up driving for him. This group started in Florida in 2009. Started their first Muslim days at the Capitol. Now they've spread everywhere. M-Gage is doing the same thing, and they got their Capitol leadership programs and other programs where they train Muslims, map them, everything they're doing, and they send them out to work in both Democrat and Republican legislative branches and run for office. Mm-hmm. So they've got a well-oiled machine, as according to them, they said, the perfect ecosystem. And then what they're also doing is recruiting what they call the majority-minority vote. And what they mean by that is Muslims are embracing the LGBT community. I know that overseas they don't.
That's right.
Right? But right now the ends justifies the means in Islam. You have to understand that without official affiliation.
Incrementalism.
Yes. So when you are going after the minority vote, the LGBT vote, all these other different groups, as Parvis said, oh, they're part of our, you know, part of us. The Black Lives Matter movements are matter, as CARE said. Matter of fact, if you look at George Floyd's, the so-called organic protest under George Floyd, look at the top right-hand corner of all those posters. They were printed by the Council on American Islamic Relations. So you've got a marriage between progressive groups like the progressive left, Antifa, and CARE working together. And by the way, BLM is a Marxist-Maoist organization that came out of Freedom Roads.
Absolutely.
Which endorsed Biden and been with him his whole term. And it's a Chinese organization. Mm-hmm. So what you really had was what you had was racial Marxism being fomented, adopting the false narrative of systemic racism to foment revolution through BLM, just as LGBTQ is pure Marxism, it's gender Marxism, and then you have classical financial Marxism. So those three groups are working together. Now, I'm not saying that there are, you know, gay groups that aren't part of that, and we've got gay guys in the Republican Party that fight against groomers and everything else, and I'm not saying anything bad, but you have to understand, but the LGBTQ community is not. It is a political movement. It is a Marxist political movement.
Absolutely.
The BLM is a Marxist political movement. Antifa is a fascist Marxist communist group that came out of Germany and was working in 32 and 33 with Russia and Marxist Russia. So it's not some progressive or a conservative group. It's part of the progressive group, rather. So we have to understand that we're at war, and these are the very same groups. Nothing's changed.
Absolutely.
It's the same groups.
So, Kenneth, did that answer your question elongatedly? So, major thing is we need to understand, as Americans, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, is the fact that we have the enemy in the camp that is undermining from within the moral, ethical, biblical standards, which are foundational and fundamental for our nation. And we ought to be concerned. And as Christians, we ought to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We need to be visible, vocal, thus victorious in doing so. We need to be salt and light, as God's called us to be in the Scripture. Kenneth, thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. Randy, as we think about this subject, I'm looking at the headline. It goes back to what's happening today in Texas. Let me just do a little parenthetical footnote before I read portion of this article. We're watching, as I see it, not just in the blue states, but there's the goal of Islam, as I see it in America, to capture the major headquarters, financial headquarters, and what I would call the conservative headquarters in America. They've already captured the financial headquarters in New York. They're after Texas at this very moment. This article reads, Governor Abbott says all construction halted for Muslim epic city. This goes back to May of this year, where the governor, by executive order, stopped the 400-acre planned construction of an Islamic jihadist community, with a giant mosque being the center of it. The executive order was overridden by the courts. The courts have given a green light, and the Attorney General of the state of Texas filed suit and asked the Department of Justice to become involved. Pam Bondi's office, and as much as I think they're doing good, Pam Bondi's office looked at it. They said there's nothing wrong, gave it the green light to go ahead. What's wrong with that picture? What do we see? What is the goal of Islam in the state of Texas with 450,000 Muslims and 330 mosques? What's the goal?
Again, I think the question is wrong. We have to understand that we have enemy combatants. And Islam divided the world. Listen, Islam divides the world into two, the Dar al-Islam and the Dar al-Harb. You either belong to the abode or house of Islam or the house of war. Let that sink in. So in Islam, there is no dead. There's only two camps, the Islamic camp or the warfare camp.
Mm-hmm.
So until we understand that Islam is not a religion and we classify it as what it is, we're going to continue to lose. First of all, you know my background is a former Marine, a counterintelligence background. So not just, I went with ACT and I worked with the Understanding the Threats and Strategic Engagement Group and several other bodies over the years, and other leading experts like John Guandolo and Stephen Coughlin and Claire Lopez and others. That
Dave Gabatz.
Dave Gabatz, yes, sir. He's been here. He's a great guy. So, when you look at it, you have to understand that this is Insurgency 101 model. You plant a mosque, you draw a three-mile ring around it, and you buy up properties. So Epic Center in itself was just an announcement that we're going to create it. It's already been created. They already have the mosque. They have the infrastructure. They have many of the homes there. This is just an expansion on what they've already done. Dearborn is just like that. Jacksonville is no different. Tampa's no different. We have our own enclaves here that are growing. And so all you got to do is look around the mosque right now and look at the demographics, see where they're going, see which property is being bought, because once Muslim-owned, it cannot be sold to non-Muslim. They keep it. They grow the enclaves, and then they take political clout. And by the way, that's why we have a halal. They're fighting right now in our city council about a halal thing, and they're treating it as a code violation or a code issue when it's really a parallel legal system issue, and it's implementation of Islamic law. As a matter of fact, I'm even on AI kind of asking questions, and you got to fight with a little bit because it tries to protect Islam or whatever. So, but if you ask it the question in the right manner and according to classic Islamic law or the Umdat al-Salik authoritative Islamic law, is halal part and parcel of Islamic warfare? And it comes down, yes, economically.
Explain that to our listeners that may not know what halal means.
Halal means permissible, but permissible by what?
Mm-hmm.
Who's permissible by what? So it's permissible by law, Sharia. Right. Not the religion, but by law. Remember, I said, think about it like code, like federal code. It's codified law. And in Islam, which is different than other religions, every verse of the Quran was gone through. Those verses that were found to be false were burned and destroyed. So the perfect book that came down from Allah had to destroy over almost two-thirds of its oral translations. Then they rated them by which ones were weak or da'if, which ones were strong. The strongest were by Bukhari and Muslim. If Bukhari said it, it's as if Allah himself said it. So he said the highest oral chain of narration of law. But when you look at this in stages of jihad, and if you look at halal being part of that, what's permissible under the law, and in the political Islamist view, it's enforcement because it's religious enforcement and oversight. So the halal certifier acts as a religious court and auditor. Compliance, it demands compliance from non-Muslim entities like companies, banks, logistics. So we got Sharia compliant finance, which a portion of that has to go to what we call terrorism and they call jihad. Right. So we have people in America. Remember when Obama said, well, let me say this, and then autonomy. It operates autonomously from non-Muslim states' legal system. It asserting a higher religious authority over the sphere of economic life, and therefore under specific lens of interpreting all Muslim activity in Dar al-Har, the House of War, as part of a strategic multi-stage jihad to achieve classical mandates of Sharia supremacy. Halal implementation can be considered a phase of Islamic warfare, a socio-economic jihad that establishes a parallel legal system of governments. And this is off my AI. This isn't me just biasing it, but it's based on classical Islamic law and classical Islamic expansion as we've seen historically for 1,400 years. And it's in accordance with that that halal is part and parcel of that to divide that enemy wedge. And they go, oh, well, have you ever met a Muslim? He's a nice guy. What does it say in the Quran? Smile in the faces of some while you curse them in their hearts. Show friendship outwardly. Never take Jews and Christians as your friends. Sure. Listen, how do I know if in Islam I can lie to keep peace in my home? If in Islam I can lie to keep peace with my neighbors, and if Islam I have to lie in times of war and it's obligatory on me, if the action is obligatory like the hijra or migration to conquer enemy lands, lands not ruled by Sharia, or if I have to wage jihad, which is obligatory, whether it be kinetic, non-kinetic, or verbal, whatever, financial, other ways, then how do I know that that guy looking over, shaking my hand is really, truly, legitimately my friend or not?
Correct.
I have no basis of truth.
That's right. We'll trickle down for just a moment. We've got a few minutes left. With what's happening with the Halal fight here in Jacksonville, mm-hmm. tell our listeners some of the fundamental facts about that.
Well, I they want to look at it as a dietary law. And again, there's a difference between Jewish dietary laws and how they slaughter the animal, which is more humane. I really don't even care to get into that. Again, I think I'd look back at it as the law. Dina al-Mahuta Dina, the Jews will submit to the law of the land, and it's a supreme land. And in Islam, let's get back to keep it right back to the simple. The highest form of disbelief is honoring man-made law. So we will live in enemy lands peacefully until we grow in numbers. Then we will do defensive jihad or start agitation, which is not truly defensive. Then finally, we're going to have all-out offensive jihad. So Islamists are enemy combatants here to take over the nation, just as they've taken over every Christian nation, Hindu nation, Pakistan. You look at Pakistan, you look at Lebanon, you look at Turkey, you look at North Africa, every country in North Africa. You look all the way down through Morocco, either Christian or Hindu nations mostly. They're all Muslim now. Okay, so I really don't care about those specifics. Let's get the big picture and understand that we're at war.
At war.
And absolutely. The enemy, I guess as my buddy said, the score is 70. We're in a football game. The score is 74-10, and we're on the sidelines in hockey gear and don't even know what game we're waging here.
That's the bottom line of it. One of the things that we find taking place with it, there's an individual in this city that was the former head of CARE when he was in Tampa, Florida. Is he in a position of authority in Jacksonville today to push Islamic jihadist move?
If you're talking about Ahmed Parvez, he was the former national chairman of CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations. His goals and mission if you look at the work and the influence that he does, well, let's put it this way. Do you remember when Osama bin Laden was killed?
Right.
3 months before that, I took a team in. He was speaking to an atheist group in Orange Park. And we asked questions and pinned him down with some friendly questions, and then we started nailing with hard questions. He got very angry. We got it on video. And he said that he was talking about Sharia being just a guide, just a path to a watering hole. It wasn't law. 3 months later, Osama bin Laden was killed, and he wrote an article that went in the Florida Times Union that print him, you know, and drip all over this guy, Parviz Ahmed, a former UNF professor, he's still a UNF professor, and now he's in Donna Deegan's administration. He said that Osama bin Laden was not only killed in accordance with international law, American law, but dun-dun-dun, he was killed in accordance with Sharia law. So now this path or guide or this mystic thing that you really can't put your hands on is not just a guide, it's actually codified law. And not only codified law, it's codified law that mandated capital punishment for Osama bin Laden. And so where does he get that from? Well, it could be mischief in the land. So the Muslim world was not upset with Osama bin Laden for attacking the United States. He got a slap on the wrist for not giving the invitation to Islam, which is a declaration of war in itself. You have to give it three times. But he didn't do it the right way. So there was a little slap on the wrist. But he said, oh, created mischief in the land. Well, how is that? If a Muslim, and I'll give you one example in war, if a Muslim does something that has a disparaging response from the enemy that brings non-Muslims into enemy land, it's considered mischief in land. It's a capital offense. So there was a time when we started going through towns when we were at war overseas saying, hey, we killed 10, you know, 100 people today, killed 20 people today. All of a sudden the villagers ran up and drove the Taliban out. It wasn't that they were on the side of the Americans, but Allah doesn't lose. And if Allah continues to lose war, then obviously he's not fighting just war, and he's a heretic, and they have to be, it's called mischief in the land. And that's why they drove the Muslims out. But because we don't understand the doctrine, we don't get it right. And so right now we have Americans, and Obama said, hey, you can collect your zakat here in America. Well, the seventh category of zakat is Feast of Allah. It means only what we call terrorism. CARE Florida and Emerge advertise that they're collecting their money Feast of Allah. They advertise that we're funding terrorism, and our law enforcement's too ignorant to know it.
That's right. One final question. We had about 20 seconds left on the broadcast, Randy. What would you say from the standpoint of Christians, conservatives, and patriots listening? How should we respond to what we've heard?
I think that the don't get your education from a Muslim. That's going to subvert you. I would say go in there and buy the Umdat al-Salik or Alliance of the Traveler. $30. Start studying that. Learn it. Get a hold of Dr. Yamba. Get a hold of me. Get a hold of those guys that are in the know. And then you have to start stand up and resist the expansionist movement of political Islam in America.
Absolutely. And a final thought, ladies and gentlemen, we need to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging the Lord and allow Him to direct our paths. Thank Amen. You for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for